ready to go ahead and turn the tape on?
Yes, this is side two, or tape number two, on the 30th of July, 1993. Go ahead, please.
Okay, so, pardon me. So, a lot of you here, and I can't tell you all exactly, unless each of you were to get a patriarchal blessing. In the 49th chapter of Genesis, Jacob gave each of his sons, before he died, a patriarchal blessing and told them what would happen to them and to their posterity, even in the latter days. I'll turn to it and just quote his words right here so that you know. And Jacob called unto, this is chapter 49, the first verse. And Jacob called unto his sons and said, gather yourselves together that I may tell you that which shall befall you in the last days. And here we are living in the last days. Now it also says in the scriptures about the last days that in the last days that there will be scoffers walking after their own lusts in 2 Peter 3:3. In Jude, the 18th verse says, how that I told you that they told you that there should be mockers in the last time who should walk after their own ungodly lusts. 1 Timothy 4:1-2 says, now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith. I can tell you that there are very, very, very few people today who know or are willing to live the commandments and the truth. In the 28th chapter of Deuteronomy, we see all the curses that are going to come upon the United States, or the children of Israel, the lost 10 tribes, God's people, because they will not keep his commandments. And the only way, like I say, we don't have, in the next 5 months, we're not going to get the United States to repent and turn to his commandments. We don't keep the holy days. We don't keep the fasts and the feasts of the Lord or all the rest of his commandments. It tells us in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 to 5, know this also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves. You ever heard of queers? Lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, blasphemers, disobedient to parents. Have any of you heard anything about disobedience to parents and child problems and youth problems? Without natural affection. What's it mean to be without natural affection? What's natural affection? That's to have your own children. How many people are there that don't even want to have kids? They'd rather have pets and horses and boats and everything else. They don't want to have natural affection. And natural affection is men loving women and women loving men, not queer. He says right here, truce breakers. And who are the truce breakers? Do you know that of the last 25 treaties that the Soviets have made with the United States, of the last 25, they have broken 24. There's only one treaty standing right now, and that will be broken in another 5 months when they attack us. Truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Look around at society today. Who loves pleasure more than lovers of God? Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. All the religious churches and congregations that profess the power of God, but they don't have it. Now, I told you who you were, the children of Israel, like the lost keys. You're right here in plain sight. Because in the 38th chapter of Ezekiel, it talks about, oh, I'll turn to it and quote the first part of it so that that I'm not paraphrasing. I'm actually giving you the words of the Lord that he says in the scriptures. Chapter 38, verse 1. And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, set thy face against Gog, the land of Magog, the chief prince of Meshech and Tubal. Meshech anciently is called Moscow today. Tubal is the Tobol River. You look at this little map I drew down here. You see the, can you see where Europe is? This red line is the Ural Mountains, runs, and the Tobol River begins on the steppes of Russia and runs 1,000 miles north into the Kara Sea. The chief prince of Meshach or Moscow is who, do you think? The beast, it tells you in the Revelation about the beast that received a deadly wound and his deadly wound was healed. That's Mikhail Gorbachev. He will be back. The chief prince of Meshach and Tubal. Who is Tubal? What's the man's name that's the head of the Russian parliament today and most of the Soviet Union? Boris Yeltsin. You know where Boris Yeltsin was born? Little town on the Tobol River. The chief prince of Meshach and Tubal. Gorbachev and Yeltsin. And they will be back strong. And the 38th chapter of Ezekiel goes ahead and says, in the 38th chapter, 2nd verse, Son of man, set thy face against Gog, the land of Magog, the chief prince of Meshach and Tubal, and prophesy against him. In the 8th verse, it says, In the latter years thou shalt come into the land that is brought back from the sword, that is gathered out of many people. In the 16th verse, it says, It shall be in the latter days that I will bring thee against my land, that the heathen may know me. God is this winter going to cause, and he goes on here in verse 4, he says, And I will turn thee back, and I will put hooks into thy jaws, and I will bring thee forth, and all thine army, horses and horsemen, all of them clothed with all sorts of armor. I will bring thee forth. What happens when you put a hook in a fish's jaw? Does he get away? Rarely. Rarely. You pull him, you bring him forth. When God commands the word this winter, He will bring and cause the Soviet Union to attack his people, this my land, the United States. And you look at the name Jerusalem, J-E-R-U-S-A-L-E-M. The USA is the USA in Jerusalem. And they will come. I don't know what else I should tell you at this point in time. The heathen. You remember the statement there? The last verse, It shall be in the latter days I will bring thee against my land, that the heathen may know me, when I shall be sanctified in thee, O God, before their eyes. How many of you in this room admit to being heathen? Any of you know that you're heathens? Everybody hold up one hand. Come on, everybody hold up one hand. Okay. Everybody that had a Christmas tree, keep your hand up. If you did not have a Christmas tree, bring your hand down. If you had a Christmas tree, keep your hand up. Okay, he's going to bring them against the heathen. In the 10th chapter of Jeremiah, the 2nd verse, He says, Thus saith the Lord, Learn not the way of the heathen, for the customs of the people are vain. For one cutteth a tree out of the forest, the work of the hands of the workmen with the axe. They deck it with silver and with gold. They fasten it with hammers and nails. You ever have a tree, Christmas tree with a stand? On the bottom they fasten it with hammers and nails, that it move not. They are upright as a palm tree, but speak not. They must needs be borne, or it means be carried, like you would carry one another's burdens. The Lord bore the sins of the people, mean he carried the sins of the people. A tree must be borne, they must be carried, for they cannot go. For as much as they're none like unto thee, O Lord, thou art great, for to thee doth it appertain. What does Christmas pertain to? Christ's Mass. For to thee doth it appertain. The United States is loaded with millions and millions of heathen people that don't know any better. Not intentionally heathen, but it's a statement of fact. You know why? Because the clergymen are sitting on their fat butts and won't quote what the Lord said in the Scriptures. They have a Christmas tree in the chapel. They have all their pageants and everything else. All a bunch of phony trash. You've got to be obedient to the word of the Lord. Joel, proclaim this among the Gentiles. Prepare war. Wake up the mighty men. Let all the men of war draw near. Beat your plowshares into swords. How many of you in this valley know farmers that would go out and beat their plows into swords to defend their homes when the paratroopers come in here? Because the paratroopers will come. Do you remember what he said here in the 38th chapter of Ezekiel? I'll read it to you again, then I'll give you an interpretation. I will turn thee back and put hooks into thy jaws, and I will bring thee forth, and all thine army, horses and horsemen. You know what the Hebrew word for horse is? Parash. You know what a parachute is? A horseman. Horses and horsemen. Parish and parachutes. That's what he's saying right here. And I've seen them. They will invade the United States with parachutes and helicopters as well. Assemble yourselves and come all ye heathen. Look it up. Joel chapter 3 verses 9 to 16. All ye heathen, I sit to judge the world about. Put ye in the sickle, for the harvest is ripe. Now, you've all heard the sickle that's going to reap the earth. Have you heard of that before? You know what the sickle is that's going to reap the earth?
It's under a flag.
Yeah. You remember that the children of Israel, when they left Egypt, they had trouble with what? The Red Sea. They're having trouble with the Reds all throughout history. The Reds are the ones that the children of Israel have to fight. Red Russia, Red China, Red Korea, Red Cuba. It's the Reds that we're going to fight throughout all history.
Red Shield.
Yeah, the Reds. The Red Shield. The Rothschilds, yeah, if you want to get into that, that's the monetary aspects. In the 8th chapter of the book of Revelation, it talks about, and I'll turn to that and read it to you. So it says, the 8th chapter of Revelation, the 10th verse says, and a third angel sounded, and there fell a great star from heaven, burning as it were a lamp, and it fell upon a third part of the rivers, and upon the fountains of waters. And the name of the star is called Wormwood. And a third of the part of the waters became bitter. Wormwood. You see the star right up here? Do you know how you say Wormwood in the Russian language? We say Wormwood in English. Do you know how you say Wormwood in Russian? Chernobyl. Chernobyl. Nuclear Chernobyl. Was the 1986 accident. CBS said, even recorded that on the two programs about Chernobyl. They mentioned the fact that in the Russian language, Chernobyl is Wormwood, which fulfills the book of Revelation scripture. We go to Jeremiah, and he says, learn not... Oh, that's... Did I? No, I got it right, yeah. Learn not the way of the heathen, for the customs of the people are vain. They cut the tree out of the forest. They fasten it with hammers and nails. You see that hammer? It's part of the hammer and the sickle. And then go through Joel. Then there's another one in the Revelations, I think, or in Jeremiah, if I can find it. Here in Revelations, the 14th chapter, I'll find you the other hammer in a minute. In the 14th chapter, the 14th to the 20th verse, it says, "And I look, behold, a white cloud." A white cloud. The Joel, remember, he said, "I will show blood and fire and vapors or pillars of smoke." The Hebrew word pillar is timra, which means cloud pillar, a cloud on top and a pillar in the middle, or palm trees of smoke. What does a palm tree look like? It's got a skinny trunk and a big bushy top. That's a mushroom cloud. A white cloud, and upon the cloud one sat, likened to the Son of Man, and he had a golden on his head a golden crown, and in his hand a sharp sickle. And another angel came out of the temple with a loud voice, crying to him that sat upon the cloud, "Thrust in thy sickle and reap, for the time for thee to reap, for the harvest of the earth is ripe." And he that sat upon the cloud thrust in his sickle, and the earth was reaped. And another angel came out from the altar, which had the power over fire. Like I told you, 11 million degrees, 10 seconds after the detonation, 11 million degrees and a mile across. That is a big ball of fire. Now here's the hammer again. Jeremiah 23, verses 19, 20, and 29. A whirlwind, a mushroom cloud. You see the column part, the stem, looks like a whirlwind, a grievous whirlwind. "And it shall fall grievously on the head of the wicked. In the latter days ye shall consider it perfectly. Is not my word like as a fire, saith the Lord, and a hammer that breaketh the rock into pieces?" I had a revelation. I didn't know all this until the Lord told me, I think it was in 85, and it's in all of my flyers, and I've got a diagram and a hammer and a sickle, because 5 days after I got the revelation and the vision, I went and had the typeset and printed the flyer. But he told me, he said, when he gave the command with his word, that his hammer would smash the doctrines of men and the false traditions of their fathers, and then the sickle would reap the earth. And how many people will die? About 100 million in the United States. Million, spelled with an M. How many people will die in the world? About 2 billion, spelled with a B. This war will not be over in 6 weeks. It will go on for years and years and years.
Wrong. It will be almost 6 billion.
That's all there is.
Well, that's all there is.
You are
but
wrong.
He said,
"You are wrong. There are well over 7 billion people on your planet, a planet created to house comfortably, in proper balance, 500 million people, and your own elite plan to get rid of 6 billion. Your own elite controllers."
Well, you remember what he said in Matthew. He said, unless he should shorten those days, there would be no flesh saved.
So.
Revelation 10:1, "And I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven, clothed with a cloud, and a rainbow was upon his head." Now, let me tell you about this rainbow. If it wasn't the fact that it was so much death and destruction and everything, and knowing what it is, when you actually see, and I've seen dozens of nuclear explosions, they're awesome. They're the most beautiful, brilliant colors I've ever seen. They really are beautiful. More so than the rainbow. It's just, it's incredible. Clothed with a cloud, and a rainbow was upon his head, and his face was that was it were the sun. How is the sun powered? It is by nuclear energy, nuclear fission. And his feet as pillars of fire, those long stems, those columns and pillars. Second Esdras. Now, when the King James translators in the year 1611, King James, King of England, called all of his ministers and religious people together, and he said, look, let's get all together and decide what we're going to have as Holy Scriptures. And they made what we call today the King James Bible. They left out some scriptures. They called them apocryphal scriptures. The word apocryphal means hidden. And some of the Bibles had them, and some of the Bibles didn't. The King James Bible does not generally have the Apocrypha or Second Esdras. But if you go into the Catholic Bible or the Septuagint Bible, it does have them. Second Esdras saw 2,500 years ago. He says in 2 Esdras chapters 13, 14, 15, and 16, talk about this World War III or this final great war that the Dead Sea Scrolls talk about between the sons of light and the sons of darkness, or between God's people, the 10 tribes of Israel, the lost 10 tribes, and the evil one or the communist regimes or whatever else you want to call it that the Lord is going to use to chastise his people. Any one of you right here, if you see the neighbor kids run across the street, do you go over there and spank their butts? No. You do your own children. Who is God going to punish? His own children. Because it's his children that he's upset with. He doesn't care about anybody else. It's his children that are going to get the punishment.
You want to know why?
Yeah.
Yeah. Go back to your numbers and remember what I've told you about the ability of replication. You're tinkering around with genetic structure, DNA structure, so that you end up with an awful lot of what you could consider soulless beings. It's either been bred out or a mechanical coming together, if you will, manufacturing of beings. So you have populated this world with a very lot of beings. When God punishes his children, this is going to represent the souled beings with freedom of choice, having chosen their own path to follow the beast. It isn't like he lines up his children and says, all right, I'm just going to beat the hell out of every one of you because you exist. And that's why it behooves you to clean up your act and hearken back to the commandments. They are explicit. They're not even difficult to follow. What you once suffer through in this worldly experience is incredible to watch. You're not enjoying it. You know, the old beast says, come on over here and let's have a little sex party. Let's have a little drinking binge. Let's go murder somebody. Let's torture a little bit. Let's take another nation. Just wipe out those people. Is that fun? You would think so from the way it's practiced. Man is desperate. Man will try anything. And if you're told that's going to bring you pleasure, that's going to bring you joy, you are thinking with your five senses and not your soul. And you have been cut off from remembering how it was. So first of all, you've got to get with remembering. And then once you can recall how it is, maybe you're going to be able to save your own ass. because it all revolves around soul. Every bit of it revolves around soul. It's not pleasant to hear.
What each of you, you pass beyond, pass on to each of your posterity, your own personal attributes. How do you do that? You have no choice or vocation in it. It goes through, what do they call it, your genes. Do you realize that? You remember your chromosome, your genes, whether you're blonde-haired or dark-haired, or whether you're fat or you're tall or you're skinny or you're small, through your genes. Well, the word gene, the Hebrew word gene, that's where Genesis came from. The Genesis, the beginning, is the genes in the history of the world. Like I say, it takes 1,178 chapters to tell you about Israel. From the beginning, the 12th chapter of Genesis, 1,178 chapters later, you come to the 22nd chapter of Revelations. In the 21st chapter of Revelations, the 21st chapter in the 12th verse, it says, the 11th verse, in the glory, well, let's see, I'll better start the 10th. And he carried me, this is Revelations chapter 21, verse 10, 11, and 12. And he carried me away in the Spirit unto a great and high mountain, and showed me the holy city, that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God, and her light was like unto a stone most precious, even like unto jasper stone, clear as crystal, and had a wall great and high, and had 12 gates, and on the 12 gates 12 angels, and names written upon them, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. The first time the name Israel is used in the Bible is chapter 32, verse 28, where Jacob wrestles with the angel, and he says, "Thy name shall be no more Jacob, but Israel shall I be called." That's the first time you hear of Israel. The last time you hear of Israel is when the holy city, the New Jerusalem, comes, and the 12 gates to the 12 children, the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. In between those times, the name Israel is mentioned 2,574 times in the Bible. Every time it's mentioned, it doesn't mean a little country called Palestine that we call Israel today that began in 1948, and it's only as big as New Jersey. In fact, you know, the whole country of Israel today, or Palestine, is not as big as Kern County. The county that we are in right now, the whole country is not as big as Kern County. Can you imagine the Russia coming to fight the Kern County? There wouldn't even be a battle, would there? No, see, Israel is the whole United States and Canada and the blood of Ephraim in England and the blood of Zebulun in France and the blood of Reuben in Denmark and in Holland, Amsterdam, Holland, and the blood of Dan in Denmark, and the blood of Benjamin in Iceland, in Canada, and some of the blood of Israel is in South Africa too. Not black South Africa, but those Dutchmen that went down there in the 16th century. They're of the blood of Israel. But I want to tell you about Esdras here. Let me get this. 2 Esdras 13. I only saw that he sent out of his mouth as it had been a blast of fire, and out of his lips a flaming breath. Now, Jesus isn't a fire-breathing dragon. You know that. But he gives the command, and I will bring thee forth. I will put hooks in thy jaws. He gives the command, and Russia will do exactly what he tells them. And out of his tongue he cast out sparks and tempest, and they were all mixed together, the blast of fire, the flaming breath, the great tempest, and fell with a violence upon the multitude which was prepared to fight. Who are we prepared to fight? We're prepared to fight Saddam Hussein right now. more so in the winter, and burned them up, every one, so that upon a sudden of an innumerable multitude, nothing was to be perceived but only dust and smell of smoke. When I saw this, I was afraid. Now I understand the things that are laid up in the latter days. But he says, you'll notice here, and I won't read it all, he said, that you're more blessed to live through these things than to pass away as a cloud. How? In a cloud? 11 million degrees for the first 5 miles. Second Ezra, chapter 15, he says, from the east, great and mighty clouds shall be lifted up full of wrath, and the star. Remember on the flag, we saw the star, Chernobyl, Wormwood, nuclear. The star, and a horrible star, and flying swords. What are flying swords? Later on, the next chapter of Ezra, yeah, they're missiles. In chapter 16, he says, like an arrow that is shot out of a mighty archer that returneth not backward. Even the plagues, the arrows that come over the North Pole will be missiles. It takes a long time to fly around the world, but only a half an hour to fly over the top, because it's short. We're at the top of the world in the Northern Hemisphere. From Soviet Union to the United States is only 26 minutes is the shortest time. 26 minutes from the launch.
Don't dare here.
To where it
hit. Isn't simply missiles. Every one of you now are pretty knowledgeable about pulse beams, particle beams. So in this discussion, those are just as deadly, some of them far more deadly than any missile that they can send against you. And it comes right over your North Pole and surrounds now your planet. And you, the elite of your own nation, hooked in with the beast, has hooked up the grid system so that you are under 100% control. They can mentally control you, physically control you, through these pulse beams. And they can detonate anything that they have set up. So it isn't just missiles. They are the visible. It's just like Chernobyl is the sign. It's the clue, the sign. Don't miss the signs.
He says that these are the beginnings of the sorrows and great mournings, the beginning of famine and great death, the beginnings of wars. We will fight this war until we subdue or we win and the Soviet Union ceases to attack us. In the meantime, China will attack the Soviet Union. China will attack the United States. We will be fighting back against the Chinese and the Russians, and the war will go on for years and years and years. It's not going to be over quick in 6 weeks. Revelation 6, and I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, I heard the noise of thunder, and behold, the white horse, and he that sat upon him had a bow. What do you do with a bow? You shoot arrows or missiles. And he went forth conquering and to conquer, and there was another horse that was red, and power was given him that sat thereon to take peace from the earth. Who is going to take peace from the earth? The reds. The red horse. Just like crossing the Red Sea. Revelation 19. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with the rod of iron. And he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Now remember that it says here, out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. How many are any of you here familiar with the Book of Mormon? Raise your hand if you've ever read the Book of Mormon. Lehi, let me tell you, 600 years before Christ, there were a number of prophets. There was a prophet in Jerusalem named Jeremiah. And then Nebuchadnezzar attacked Jerusalem, and he hauled away another man called Ezekiel, and he put him in northern Iraq by the river Shebar. And he took another man called Daniel down in southern Iraq to a place called Babylon. So you have Jeremiah and Ezekiel and Daniel, all three of them contemporary, alive, all the prophets in different places doing their own thing, their own work with the Lord's people. There was another prophet in Jerusalem called Lehi, and the Lord led him out of Jerusalem and down across the Arabian Peninsula, and he got in, made some boats, and got in the boats, and the Lord blew him on the trade winds, and he landed on the coast of South America. His descendants kept records of their people for 1,000 years, and those records are what we call the Book of Mormon today. A lot of you don't believe in the Book of Mormon or don't know anything about it, but it is a true book, and it talks, Lehi, this prophet that was led out of Jerusalem, in 1 Nephi chapter 8, talks about Lehi having a vision where he saw an iron rod, and that was this iron rod that Jesus is going to use to rule the world with a rod of iron. And he saw a river of water, and he saw a big, tall, a great and spacious building. And he says, as it stood high, as it were, high in the air, high above the earth. Just as I've showed you about the hammer and the sickle and the saw, here's the great and spacious building that Lehi saw. That's the Mormon Church headquarters in Salt Lake City that they just built 13 years ago. And they don't like it when I tell them that they're apostate, that they've turned from the commandments that were restored. They've changed the temple ordinances, they've changed the endowments, they've changed the covenants, they've departed, and they're no better off today than anybody else. In fact, Salt Lake City is going to be one of the first places in the country that's going to get hit. Why? Because if you had an automobile wreck and you had your hand cut off or your foot cut off or lost a leg, you could live through it. If you get your head cut off, you don't. Right? It only takes 48 missiles to cut off 48 state capitals. Most of the government, most of the television stations, the radio stations, the hospitals, the doctors, the National Guard, everything hubs around the state government. And 48 missiles, I've calculated and looked it up, 48 missiles hitting 48 state capitals kills 20 million people in the United States that quick. Then another 40 or 50 million people will die from the fallout. That's what I'm here to warn you about and hope that you'll get prepared for. They're not going to hit Tehachapi, but they will hit Bakersfield. Bakersfield is on the target list. These are the targets in the state of California. I've got to move these and they've fallen down, but the wind blows to the east. And so all of these will...
Love of reasons, not the least of which are the oil fields.
This pattern, the wind will blow east. In the 38th chapter, again, you can kind of get an idea about that. I'll tell you about the United States is going to get hit. I have here. EJ, can you grab the bottom of that?
I'll tell you what let's do.
Just grab that.
Let's exchange this.
Here are the targets, the first 1,600 targets that are going to get hit in the United States. Every state in the Union, I've got the first 1,600 targets, and I have on here, and I can't give you a Xerox of this, it was given to me by a general about 10 years ago, right over these numbers over here on the right-hand side, I've got the latitude and the longitude right down to the foot of every target in the United States. When that happens, I'll show you this map.
Leland.
Here, these are the targets that will be hit in the United States. In the little map at the bottom, you will see the black shows the fallout patterns. The farther east you go, the worse it will be. I can tell you this. 2 years after the beginning of the war, and I don't know whether it will happen on the 21st of December or the 25th of December or the 27th or the 28th, 2 years after the attack starts, there won't be one single living human being on the Atlantic coast. Nobody. Can you see that? Because as the winds blow from the Pacific and the storms, when it storms in San Francisco and San Diego, 2 days later it's storming in Salt Lake City and in Denver, and a couple days later in Kansas City, and a day later in Pennsylvania, and a day later, it takes about 4 or 5 days to cross the United States. All of you have seen that, those weather patterns, right? Okay, now let's listen to what the Lord says in the scriptures. I'll read to you.
In Florida, the winds come off of the Atlantic Ocean.
Pardon?
In Florida, on the east coast, the winds come off of the Atlantic Ocean. It stretches out the Gulf of Mexico on the other side.
Well, that may be. I've never been down there to know for sure, but listen to this. Ezekiel 38 says, "Thou shalt ascend and come like a storm." How do storms come? They come in the sky. They move from the Pacific across the United States from west to east. "Thou shalt come like a storm. Thou shalt be like a cloud to cover the land." What are you going to cover the land with? Going to cover it with fallout. "Thou and all thy bands, and many people with thee. Thus saith the Lord God, and it shall come to pass at the same time, shall things come into thy mind, and thou shalt think an evil thought. And thou shalt say, I will go up, not around, not down, but I will go up over the pole. I will go up to the land of unwalled villages." What is the land of unwalled villages? That's the United States. In Europe, all the little towns and villages and hamlets have walls around them. Over in the land of Palestine, they're the same way, because they had the defenses of warfare. We've got a couple thousand mile border all the way across Canada that's not a wall, you know, not even protected. Same way down in Mexico. The land of unwalled villages. "I will go to them that are at rest, that dwell safely." At rest. When's the attack going to begin? It's going to begin in the evening, at night. I can tell you this, I was in the Orem Mall in Orem, Utah about 10 years ago, and I was looking, they had a globe there as big as one of these one chairs, about 4 or 5 feet across. Had a spinner on top, showed half the daytime on one side and the nighttime on the other, and you could spin it around and see the hours. And I got to spinning and looking at it and realized that 10 o'clock at night in the United States, say in Utah, well, I should make it California, 10 o'clock, everybody watches the news, then you go to bed at 10:30 or 11 o'clock here in California. Not this group? Well, okay. But night, imagine December 25th, Christmas night, or December 27th or 28th, when the days are short and the nights are long,
everybody's in bed by midnight. It's 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning in New York City because they're 3 hours ahead of us. You know what it is over in the Soviet Union? It's 8, 9 o'clock in the morning. They've got a whole day of daylight when we go. They start the attack at midnight or 11 o'clock our time. They're 8 o'clock in the morning their time. And they've got a whole day of daylight to get on their freeways and their cars and find a shovel in the garage and dig the hole. And our power goes out. And I should tell you that. The first thing that will happen, you will know the attack has begun because all the electricity will be out. They will detonate a 100-plus megaton bomb about 200 miles high. It'll do no blast damage at all. It won't hurt anything else, anybody at all. But about 200 miles high, it'll produce a tremendous burst of light and create what they call electromagnetic pulse, EMP, from the Atlantic coast to the Pacific coast, and it will fry all the little computer chips, and all electricity will go out. All of your automobiles that have computer chips and drive because of that, they will fry and they won't be mobile. The gas stations won't be able to pump gasoline. There will be no television broadcast, no news broadcast. And about 26 or 27 minutes later, you will begin to see flashes of light. The first flashes that you will see here will probably be straight south of it down there in the Los Angeles basin, because Bakersfield is not a primary target. It is a tertiary target, or three. There's the primary, the secondary, and the tertiary targets. And Meadows Field, Bakersfield, that big long runway, is down the least, the list. It probably won't get hit till sometime in the end of the first or second week, or maybe even the first month. I don't know. I'm not pushing the button. I'm just telling you it's going to happen. The power will go out, then you'll see flashes of light, you'll be up at midnight, you'll hear the noise, everybody in the United States will be awake. 1,600 missiles in the first wave will kill 60, 70 million people. And then another 60 or 70 or 80 million people will die in the weeks and months following from the burns and the broken bones and the radiation. You're far enough from Bakersfield that you can buy the medicine at your local drugstore. You can make shelters. I would imagine that your 450R will kill people.